bill that nobody's heard anything about. Okay. And what H, just to give you a brief reminder and a brief summary, this is the Small Cell Wireless Facilities Deployment Act. This bill would preempt and standardize local government's regulation over deployment of small wireless facilities within a right-of-way. You'll hear a lot of that known as 5G.
Good morning. I'm pleased to be here and advocate for the health of the children and people of South Carolina and our shared environment. As you know, my name is Lex. I am founder and CEO of the South Carolina Coalition for Wireless Safety Standards. We work to educate and advocate on the threat that wireless technology poses to human health and the environment. We also work to address what we believe are the many problems of the legislation like Bill 4262 that poses to local government. In short, Bill 4262 is a draconian, Orwellian, fascist-minded piece of legislation. And that's not hyperbole. It's an appalling piece of legislation that melds the narrow interests of industry and overreaching federal government. This bill gives the telecoms, the utility companies, and the federal government carte blanche to deploy wireless technology that is a known carcinogen wherever it pleases in the public right of way. There is so much peer-reviewed science on the dangers of wireless technology that you could fill Williams-Brice Stadium with all of those studies. That is not hyperbole either. I have sent you and your colleagues in the Judiciary Committee ample resources to this effect. I trust that you will review those documents carefully and perhaps take initiative on your own research. The telecoms, utility companies, and the federal government, which are intimately intertwined by way of an industry governmental revolving door, want to deploy an infrastructure of wireless technology that would give full expression to the concept referred to as the Internet of Things, IoT. The ostensible purpose of the Internet of Things is to create a smart grid that connects every inanimate microchipped object in our lives, televisions, cars, washing machines, virtual assistants, toothbrushes, plant waterers, to quote the former chairman of the FCC, Tom Wheeler, even clothing. The list goes on and on. We are being sold on the notion that the purpose of the Internet of Things is to serve us, the customer, with more and faster data, that the IoT is an infrastructure project. But this is a sinister, nefarious lie. The real purpose is not to serve us, the customer. Rather, the real purpose of this wireless technological grid is to collect data on us, the citizens of South Carolina. This operation is a stark violation of the Fourth Amendment. That very valuable data will be collected and sold without our consent. Our homes will be surveilled without our consent for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have a map I handed out. The Wi-Fi symbols on that map represent locations where the telecoms and utilities can immediately place carcinogenic wireless nodes, meters, and towers. You'll note that these wireless devices are mere feet from our bedrooms where our children sleep and pregnant women live. The data will be carried between the nodes back to larger towers by fiber optic cable. That's right, fiber optic cable. The reason the telecoms and the utility companies do not run that fiber optic cable another 10 to 20 feet right up to your front door is because they do not want the public to be able to turn off operation going on within their homes. The fastest and cheapest way on earth to send data is via light-speed fiber optic cable. Industry is obviously well aware of that because they're employing it. If the telecoms and utility companies truly wanted to send us data, they would run that fiber optic cable right into our living rooms. It is a marvel of technological innovation, far superior to any known wireless technology on this planet. But the telecoms and the utility companies do not want to do that because their mission is to violate our privacy and recklessly threaten our health purely in the name of profit. Profit. You all have an enormous responsibility on your shoulders. I hope you can appreciate that, and I sincerely hope you have the time, the acumen, and most importantly, the courage to embrace the gravity and implications of Bill 4262. Your constituents and all of the people, children, pregnant women of South Carolina are relying on you, gentlemen, you.
And I'm a local small business owner here in Columbia. I'm a former operations officer in the Air Force, an Air Force Academy graduate, and most importantly, I am a mother of two young children. I'm also 100% opposed to Bill 4262. Like Lex said, the telecom industry is pushing cell deployment, and at such a desperate pace, and this is because that they know the truth about the dangers of this technology is reaching citizens and policymakers. They've seen the studies that prove their products may be destroying our children's fertility. They're directly increasing rates of gliomas in our brains and tumors on our hearts and adrenal glands. They're causing DNA damage, childhood leukemia, headaches, insomnia, anxiety. Reaction time in children has decreased along with their memory and attention. It confuses our migratory birds and insects and causes our trees to become more flammable. The list goes on and on. You see, radio frequency and millimeter wave radiation decreases our body's ability to fight, heal, and thrive. There are thousands of studies that back up this list of dangers. In recognition of these findings, the International Association of Firefighters has formally opposed the use of fire stations for towers and antennas for the conduction of cell phone transmissions until a study with the highest scientific merit and integrity on health effects proves that such sightings are not hazardous to the health of their members. I think we should follow their lead. The American Academy of Pediatrics has also brought the FCC standards into question and has asked that they test the phones in the way that we use them, next to our bodies. The FCC said it wasn't necessary. It isn't necessary in their eyes because it is in their direct interest to deny knowledge of the health risks and to grease the skids for their former colleagues in the telecom industry to continue making billions of dollars by selling information they collect on us. Everything telecom will tell you about safety is based on a 25-year-old study that was based on, it was a behavioral study on rats. They don't have a biological study that they're looking at or independent studies. And they are currently being sued over these standards. The science surrounding cellular technology is vast and it is complex. There simply isn't enough time today to do it justice. If you are considering approving this bill, then with all due respect, you have not had time to understand the science. I truly believe you would not knowingly harm yourself, your children, your environment, or your constituents. If you've not been convinced, then I urge you to delay until you have fully understand that signing this bill will bring harm to every single person this signals reach, every single bird, insect, and animal, and the broader electromagnetic field that surrounds all of us and promotes life on our planet. I'm confident that our state can find a safer way to give internet and cellular phone access to its residents while raising the funds it needs to continue prospering. There's no dollar amount nor download speed more valuable than the health and safety of your constituents and all of our children. I humbly implore you, do not hand the fate of South Carolina over to the highest bidder. Please oppose Bill 4262. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Peterson. Anyone on the committee have any questions, Ms. Peterson? Ms. Peterson, just one quick thing. You said the International Association of Firefighters?
Yes, sir.
Was that the right organization?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
As a wife, homeschooling mom of four boys, I'm a resident of Boiling Springs, South Carolina, and also the spokesperson representing nearly 1,100 other fellow South Carolinians in and around the city of Spartanburg, lobbying nearly 9 months for the regulation of 5G small cell implementation. This has been a journey. I drove 1.5 hours this morning to give voice to those 1,100 South Carolinians. We helped inform of the dangers and sacrifices related to 5G small cells, and to give voice to the thousands more who still don't know or understand fully, including our children. Having myself been born and raised in the era surrounding the birth and launch of widespread mobile telecommunications, as well as the passing of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, upon reading said legislation recently, it was not difficult to pinpoint one of the most irrelevant, yet still telecom industry by way of lawsuits and litigation has nearly forever silenced any remaining voices or actions of concern and desperation against its overreach. Section 3 of the Act of 96 mentions prohibiting or having the effect of prohibiting the provision of personal wireless service. Sounded sensible in 1996, yet it is so irrelevant in today's society where personal wireless service is available for nearly every budget, every walk of life, in nearly every form imaginable. 1996 was the era of the Friends sitcom, pagers, copy machines, and Nokia, not cell towers popping up on every corner. Basic wireless service was still a novelty that, unbeknownst to us, would eventually transform into a near obsession, almost drug-like, competing against our very existence, our privacy, our health, our relationships, and even our personal property, our homes. The average American today either rents or owns their home, and many own more than one property. There are many property owners who choose, keyword being choose, to take out lease agreements with telecom companies. And even more who choose, again choose, to avoid buying or renting a home within eyesight of or adjacent to any form of cell tower per their personal resale, aesthetic, or health concerns. In 2014, a rather lengthy 6 years ago, the National Association of Realtors magazine published a survey held by the National Institute for Science, Law, and Public Policy, which revealed a whopping 94% of the 1,000 participants surveyed who stated they are, and I quote, less interested and would pay less for a property located near a cell tower or antenna. Having just spent 6 months this past spring helping my parents look to buy a home in Taylor's, I can wholeheartedly agree this is still very relevant. With that survey being 6 years old and the number of cell towers increasing, alongside general awareness and concern regarding radiation, truly you can't understand how prohibiting telecommunications is no longer a relevant issue. But regulating its implementation locations in order to preserve the property investments of your fellow South Carolinians is. 5G small cell tower counts are projected into the hundreds and thousands in every city and their surrounding residential areas in school campuses, park, and church campuses. Katie Mayo and her family in Denver, Colorado, found out too little, too late, when Verizon, in August of last year, 2019, erected a 50-foot 5G tower in their side yard, which had conveniently been ruled public right-of-way 25 feet from their bedroom window. This will be us. By passing H-4262, you are forfeiting the constitutional right of our local governments and instrumentalities to regulate the implementation of 5G small cells, their rights to structure and guide the installation in ways that respect the rights and privileges of their taxpayers, their property owners, of both historical homes and non. Please keep historical homes in mind. And the how devastating it would be to nearly overnight lose equity in your home, your life's investment, through absolutely no fault of your own, by no choice of your own, simply because someone else said that it didn't matter. 5G is not necessary for telecommunication. Please do not sacrifice our property rights and privileges because a heavily, heavily incentivized telecom industry tells you that 5G is necessary. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ms. Brock. Does anyone on the committee have any questions, Ms. Brock? Thank you, ma'am. Natalie Sadler, South Carolina Wireless Safety. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Senators. My name is Natalie Sadler. I'm a physician and a practicing psychiatrist. For the last 5 years, I have watched people come in and have effects from electromagnetic frequencies, wireless being one. We now know that autism is greatly influenced by wireless, that is, the increase in autism. I'm here to give you a solemn warning. This committee and the state are about to make a decision that will affect the health and wellness of your communities, rich and poor, irrevocably. When the first Telecommunications Act was passed in 1996, we didn't have a lot of information. We didn't have a lot of research. 24 years later, we have a lot of research. And it's solid. It's good. It's accurate. Martin Paul, who's a PhD, who has done a lot of research on the calcium ion channels. And I know that sounds kind of out there. But the calcium ion channels are a really important piece of your mitochondria, and that's where you get your energy, and that's what makes your heart beat, and it makes your brain work, and it makes your muscles move, and that is affected by wireless. It is so sensitive, because remember, our bodies are electromagnetic beings. It's so sensitive, it's 7.2 million times more sensitive than the other parts of the cell for electromagnetic. So what happens, that turns on, the cells fill up with calcium, this calcium signaling goes haywire, and downline you have neurologic, neuropsychiatric, you have problems with endocrine, with diabetes, with heart disease, with cancer. Those are directly downhill. We have the research, we know the mechanisms, and the few mechanisms they don't know, they're working on the research. This is, there are actually 15 different mechanisms for creating cancer from wireless in your body. We know that 5G, the millimeter waves, the little bit of research that's been done on that, will increase skin temperature, alter gene expression, promote proteins that produce oxidative stress, inflammatory processes, and metabolic processes. So it's going to make all the chronic illnesses that we now have increasing much worse. Children and fetuses, pregnant women, women in general are more sensitive to it than men, are more susceptible to wireless radiation and even more to 5G. How are you going to educate the public to have women who are pregnant or childbearing or just women in general avoid 5G antennas? They're going to cause harm. How do you educate people to stay away from them so they're not harmed? I have a concern that there's a preponderance of evidence to show real harm from 5G. And my question is, will you make the risk analysis and risk management decision to err on the side of protecting the people, the animals, the wildlife, habitat of South Carolina? until more specific research can be done. Are you aware that wireless, the risks for health risks for wireless are not insurable? Lloyd's of London won't insure the telecom companies. They have no insurance. I think that you have a personal legal duty of heightened vigilance to take precautions when known harms are foreseeable and preventable. And these are very much foreseeable and preventable. The rules coming from the FCC do not supersede local and state laws. You have the power to make a difference for South Carolina. I'm a physician, I'm a psychiatrist, I'm also a mother and a grandmother. I have family and friends and patients who are in South Carolina. And I'm asking you to use the power that you have to make a decision to reject House Bill 4262. Thank you.
Anyone on the question? Anyone on the committee have any questions? Witness, Senator from Williamsburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Dr. Sadler, for being here. When the House was debating this bill, did you or any of the other folks that have been kind enough to come and share with us today, were any of you all involved in that process at all?
In South Carolina? No.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't even know what was going on here.
I understand.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Sadler, if you don't mind, all right, you said something about calcium ions and mitochondria.
I did.
Help me out here.
I will. Mitochondria are the little parts inside your cells that make energy. Okay, you might vaguely remember from biology somewhere ATP. That's what makes the energy. And what happens is when this calcium floods the cells can't function. And the mitochondria stop making energy. It slows it way down. So your heart can't pump as fast. Your brain can't think as well. Your muscles don't move. You make free radicals. And down line, what happens is people get various things. They might get diabetes, depending on what their body physiology, where the weaknesses are. They might get diabetes. They might have cancer. They might have neurologic problems. They might have psychiatric problems, all stemming from a similar mechanism.